I'm Silva Haripetyan. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Hello, everybody. I'm Silva Haripetyan. Welcome to another edition of our show. I am so excited today because we're going to talk about travel. How many of you are fiending to travel because of what we've been through in the last year and a half? And no better person to talk to us about travel, about intentional travel, than my great friend, Melanie. I am just going to ask you to say your name because I've been trying to say it and I'm really great with last names, but I am not going to butcher your last name. Tell me your full name.
Melanie van der Merwe.
Melanie is South African. I'm going to read a little bit of her bio because I think in order to understand what she does and why she's so committed to her work and her purpose is to understand her passion and a little bit of her bio. So stay with me here for a second as I read a little bit about Melanie. She considers herself a nomadic Epicurean in search of food for the soul. Her work involves travel, food, and spiritual wellness. Over the past 15 years, she has worked as an independent consultant within the luxury travel industry, specializing in B2B marketing. We're going to talk about that. If you're confused, stay with us. Her focus has been on shaping the narrative of independent hotels and safari lodges, focused on making a meaningful impact on a place, its people, and the planet at large. Wow, she's got her work cut out for herself, doesn't she? Through her spiritual venture, which is called Mana Moon, which I'm really excited to introduce here, Melanie is deeply passionate about fostering deep community around food and inner exploration to nurture those wishing to become creators of their own reality. Oh my gosh. And by the way, it is a lot, but you actually embody all of those things, right? Like I've known you for a bit. You don't just do this, you live this, which is what I think sets you apart from so many other people. And for those of you who are wondering where Melanie is in the world, well, she's in Miami Beach, and that background right there, that is her living room. Her entire house is it's a representation of your identity, and I love that. Can you tell us, what do you call it again? It's
my shrine, my travel shrine, essentially.
Your travel shrine.
Yeah.
But, you know, I take it it's taken a while for you to sort of, over the years as you've traveled and you've brought things back, and these are things that represent you in your life. So can you talk a little bit about what we see behind you?
It's so interesting. It just kind of came together. These are baskets from Zimbabwe, actually. It's hand woven. It was hand woven in the town of Victoria Falls, which is where I bought it. I actually used to work with the Victoria Falls Hotel. And the other pieces are also African. This feather head, it's basically a head dress, and it's used for these different ceremonies they do in West Africa. And then I've got sort of like the belly, I now forget what it's called, but which culture it is. But I got it from a friend as a gift to demonstrate my nurturing qualities, the mother nature that I exude. And anyway, and when I moved into this apartment, I didn't know what to do with this wall, and it just like everything, it just came to me to kind of put this all together and kind of, again, like create an ode to more so Africa and the mother continent and where I'm from. So
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for that. I just want to point out for those of you who are listening on the radio or listening to the podcast, we are completely aware of the fact that we are talking about things that you can't see. And if you're interested in seeing, I would recommend you actually go watch this on YouTube, because I have also included a lot of pictures of Melanie's travel and the hotels and places that she works with, because I think it's important for us to visually be able to see and understand the difference between regenerative and intentional travel and sustainable travel versus just travel, period. And you have a very specific lane that you work in. But I also want to kind of point out, if you're wondering why I couldn't pronounce Melanie's last name, and you heard a bit of an accent as she was speaking. Melanie is South African. So how did you end up in the States? Can we rewind to what brought you here?
Going back to my spiritual inclinations, a voice popped up in my head at some point in my life when I was, I was actually modeling, and I was in my late 20s or early 20s actually. And something just said to me, you're going to live in New York. And somehow I followed that voice. My husband actually at the time and I, and to, it was a 2006, we were doing this expedition, driving from Timbuktu to Cape Town over a 2-month period with this group. And we were set to move to New York. Him and I, when we met, there was alignment in our story and wanting to both move to New York, actually live in New York. And so that all happened. And when I was on that, talking about, I'm just going to like go into one thing, from one thing to the next, because on that journey, I thought, what do I want to do in the United States? And I just said, I want to market Africa. I want to tell stories about Africa. And so, that all of that brought me, like everything else, my entire journey, takes me from one place to the next. And it's all been a journey of discovery. So I ended up in New York, and now we're in Miami Beach. Who knows where I'm going to be next?
I love it. Before we speak about specifically about what you do in travel and how that came about, you once told me a really interesting story about how you found your roots and what it took to actually take you back to understanding, like following the ancestral voice too. And this is something that we all, and most of us from the Middle East, particularly those of us who are Armenian, understand and have an inclination about, because we understand the intergenerational sort of feelings, everything from intergenerational trauma to intergenerational growth and survival, all of that. So I think there's alignment in how we see things, but I'm so curious whether you can share with us how you discovered all of that and what that was like for you.
Well, it actually, the seed of it was planted in South Africa, and the discovery was ultimately made when I was in New York years later. I come from a small town in the Western Cape. That's the more southern part of the country. Never really questioning my lineage. I mean, I grew up during apartheid, towards the end of apartheid, and things were just what they were. And you were surviving under those conditions. And there's so many different layers to that story, and that's another story in itself. And when I then moved to one of the major cities, Johannesburg, where you were really confronted by the different racial groups within South Africa. And again, this is like a very interesting story in terms of, the South African racial classification, which is, again, something very unique. And there I was questioned, I questioned myself and others questioned around me, who are you and where do you actually come from? Somebody of color and with the layers of identity that my community of people hold, it wasn't really clear to us where our color comes from, if you can call it, our culture actually comes from, because there's so many different communities within South Africa, and I didn't identify with a traditional community like the Zulu tribe, the Xhosa tribe, the Ngunis, and so all of that was a mystery to us. So it started there, and when I moved to New York, like most Americans, I'm always curious about, where somebody's from. So I thought, I need to figure this out. When I went back home, I would question my parents, and because they were just so occupied with what they needed to survive through, it wasn't something that they really questioned. We didn't really grow up within that type of mindset. And so I decided to do a DNA test back in New York. and I was watching this documentary around people within my community, and there was this DNA company that came up because at the end all the participants did this DNA test. So I did this DNA test and it revealed something very interesting to me, that I share ancestry with the first people of Southern Africa. Now, that was also a very important discovery for me, because even though I'm from South Africa, the way that our racial classifications worked, people like me and where I came from didn't really feel South African enough, because we didn't really fit in a clear cultural box. And I, growing up, I never really connected deeply with being or identifying with being, you know, South African, because it was either, you know, you from this community and that community, and that's considered South Africa, South African. And then I, for the first time here in my living room in New York, receiving these results, I'm like, oh my gosh, I am actually really South African, more South African than those who I had compared myself to, who were considered, or rather in my mind, were considered South African. So, you know, it's kind of like that alchemist story. It's just kind of like, you know, you kind of go full circle and back home. So, yeah.
I think it's important to tell these stories because we are in America and this is a melting pot, but so many of us come from someplace else. And even coming from somewhere else, there's still lineages that we have to explore, and it impacts how you see yourself, and it impacts what you identify with, it impacts how people identify with you. And so many layers to this identity. But, you know, I specifically remember you telling this story about what it was like when you actually went and explored where you're actually from. Can you tell me that story?
Yeah, well, so at the time I started working in the travel industry, which I also called in by being very intentional. And I had the opportunity to go to a trade show back home, which allowed me to share with some of my colleagues in that space that, you know, I just made this discovery. And then people say to me, oh, you need to speak to Ralph Bousfield from Jack's Camp. He works with the Bushmen and he would be a great resource for you. So I went to find him, introduced myself. And then next thing, I'm on a plane, or one of these small planes, to the Kalahari Desert in Botswana, which is considered the ancestral home to the Bushmen. They had been, you know, they occupied basically all of Southern Africa until different forces, from the north, the tribal forces, and then also from the oceans through colonization, they were forced into these harsher environments, which one of them being the Kalahari Desert. And so he works with a community that offers an experience for you to connect and respectfully connect with the Bushman traditions. And that's a way for them to sustain the culture. It is one of the oldest living civilizations on the planet. And so it's particularly meaningful what he does, and also a few other properties or camps in the area. And then later on, fast forward, I actually now represent Jack's Camp as one of the safari lodges within the company that I work with. So, I went to spend time there. It was as if I could see each of my family members, different family members, represented in the faces of the you know, the community that I was very privy to spend time with at Jack's Camp. And some of the really cool things that came up for me was that they don't see themselves according to a color. It's based on the tribe. So the color black and white, those are terms that were brought in. So they identify with a tribe as well as with an area. So they, if you're coming from the red sand area, those are the red people. And I just really appreciated that, and that sort of connection to the land specifically, which is what they, you know, still live so close to, and they hold the wisdom of the land. And it's so important for us to support those communities so they can still thrive and maintain and conserve that knowledge, and it's interesting, it explains so much of who I am, because, you know, I love anything to do with plants, anything to do with nature, consuming from source, as I say it, and then also just the the plant wisdom was just so fascinating. And I love my herbs. And so all of that just connected so many different dots for me. You know, the type of herbs that my mother used to brew for teas when we were growing up, which she never really educated us on, but you recognize the smells, the aromas. And just that was like a whole ecosystem of memories that were just like sort of like reinvigorated within me, spending that time with this community who no one spoke English. And we had a translator, no one spoke English. But you felt so connected. You know, you just felt so connected and you just felt so at home. And it was just such a privilege. And it was very, very meaningful for me. So
it was also moving, and it made a lot of things in your life make sense, right? Like, I say this not because you've told me this, but I say this because I've had similar experiences, because in hindsight, when you're in something and you realize there is a source to what you've been experiencing, and there was a reason why you liked certain things and don't like certain things and are gravitating towards certain cultures or people or activities, there's actually a DNA result and reason for that, right? How was that, having that sort of revelation and kind of going, this all makes sense?
You know, it's just, I wanted to feel connected. I always want to feel connected. I'm an emotionally intense person, so I really need to feel connected. And that, it connected me to where I came from. It made, to your point, it made sense of everything. And I felt so at home, not just in that space, but within myself. And I mean, that's the classic, your quest, you know, that's the journey that most of us go through in this lifetime. It's connecting. If you're not really there, it's trying to connect with who you are and trying to get to a place of like home within yourself. So I always used to say, prior to that, I've always been on a journey towards myself for as long as I can remember. Hence, I guess, the travel connection as well. So it's connecting all the dots. You know, everything is woven so intricately, woven and connected to everything else. Always.
So you have this passion and talent and desire for food, right? You're not only are you a nurturer and a matriarch, but you also just like to be those things through food. And I've seen you do it, and you do a great job. Did that part of you in executing that come before or after spending time with the Bushmen?
Before. Again, you know, you do these things not knowing where it actually comes from. Mm. And then these events come about and these experiences come about and you recognize, oh, wow, this is the collective within and beyond that have, you know, driven you to this point. I grew up in a home where I felt love through food. And I'm actually also writing a book, and so you'll read more about it in there if you're interested in reading it when it actually gets published. But what I recognize at some point is that we were never told in our household that we loved each other, but we felt it when there was food involved around the dinner table and the kitchen. And my mother never reset, you know, took each of the girls aside and taught us how to cook. It's something that just organically, you know, emerged through when I went to university when I shared a flat with my roommate then, and then also afterwards through my relationship. I always was the one who was cooking and putting dinner parties together, gathering people, connecting people around food.
We relate to the whole idea of food and bringing us together and expressing love through food. So we get that. And it's very, familiar to a lot of us. So I want to continue talking about food. I want to talk about Mana Moon and a little bit more about what you do on the next segment. In the meantime, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.